Before we get to the opinion page, what do the University of California, the Gator Nationals Drag Racing Tournament, and the invention of Gatorade all have in common? A home in Gainesville, Florida. You can now add Talk of the Nation to that list. Today, we welcome those of you listening for the first time in North Central Florida on member station WUFT. Thanks for spending part of your afternoons with us. Now we turn to the Talk of the Nation weekly opinion page and more beer politics. Not the president, the policeman, and the professor this time, but U.S. troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, both Islamic countries, where under General Order 1B, the possession, use, and consumption of alcoholic beverages is prohibited. Even so, rates of alcohol abuse are rising there, and many connect that to the rising number of soldier suicides as well. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Crone has fond memories of the daily beer rations he and his men received during the Vietnam War. He wrote an op-ed in yesterday's Washington Post titled, "Let the Soldiers Drink." If you've served in the military, how important was the beer ration to you? Does it make things better or worse? 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Crone joins us here in Studio 3A. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you, Neil.
And you wrote in that piece, it was always a blessing at the end of the day to see that last helicopter come in carrying a sling full of beer.
Well, that's right. And the point is that the atmospherics change when guys sit down and, have a beer together or two. The amount of alcohol is really negligible, but it changes the atmospherics. And, of course, I think President Obama made that point elegantly on his beer summit. The idea was that there was, some issues in Cambridge, so he invited the professor and the policeman to come and have a beer at the White House and kind of relax. And I think that, that's exactly the way you do it. And we no longer serve beer or any alcohol to service members in Afghanistan or Iraq. And I'm saying that these guys and gals are putting their life on the line. They're working under extremely arduous conditions. And at the end of the day, it would be good for them and good for everybody else if they could just sit back and relax and have a beer or two and reminisce and think about things at home and get their minds off the war. And that was the whole point of my op-ed piece.
But you've also been to Iraq in your second life, and these are Islamic countries. It's not the same as Vietnam.
Well, I don't visualize drinking a beer walking down the main street of Baghdad either. I mean, this is something that would be done in some kind of an assembly area out of public sight.
So it's as to not offend local sensibilities.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of thing, it's hard to relax when you're in public view in any event. And again, the event in the White House wasn't in public view, really, except for the photo op. So
let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. We want to hear from those of you who've been in uniform about the beer ration. Richard's calling from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
It was actually quite welcome for me and the friends that I've made over there. When I was in Iraq, in Balad, it was very welcome. It was kind of a sane thing in an insane world, or something that we did almost religiously, when we had the time, when we weren't working the very next day, it was quite welcome. I think it's definitely a benefit, a real benefit, because, and again, with anything, you take it in moderation.
Sure.
It was time basically to relax. It was to decompress, to basically get your mind off of what we had to do.
And you did that despite the order prohibiting it.
No, we weren't. I mean, when we were on base, we did it on base, and we were rationed beer ration. We were allowed to have so much, and we did just that. We respected the limits that we had to have, that we were given, and usually for us, it was usually on a Friday, it was quite a stress reliever, and it wasn't prohibited. I mean, of course, we couldn't. At that time, we couldn't even leave the base. We were in lockdown. But it was, it was something very much looked forward to, because it was a social thing as well as basically just, it wasn't just about getting drunk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand that. And a couple of beers, you have to have a vivid imagination to get drunk on it. But, Colonel, what do you think?
Was it near beer or the real thing?
It was a real thing. I mean, we had for me, I was a Jim Beam person, but it was I also enjoyed beer, and it wasn't the simulated alcohol. That's what we like to call it.
All right, Richard. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm a little puzzled about the interpretation of the regulations there, but nevertheless.
Yeah, me too.
His point, though, which you were trying to make as well, this does serve a social function. It does serve give soldiers an opportunity to sit back for a moment and relax.
So, Richard, the president and I are in the same booth in that one.
Here's some emails that we've got. I arrived in Iraq with the Army from 2003-2005. I happened to be on a Marine Corps base on the Marine Corps birthday. Each Marine got two beers as they went through the chow hall. Us Army guys got none.
Well, I've heard stories that General Petraeus arranged for two beers for soldier of the night of the Super Bowl. So there may be exceptions to kind, one at a time. But generally speaking, in all the soldiers I've met and spoke to there and here, there was no alcohol at all. So,
here's Michael. Michael with us from Minneapolis.
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
I was just going to tell a story. I was in the First Gulf War and part of the 18th Airborne Corps, and we had heard a rumor about a secret bar in Riyadh, and a friend and I went out all night in taxis trying to track this place down.
In Riyadh, the sort of secular capital of Saudi Arabia, yes.
Yeah, and we finally found this secret bar at the British Aviation Aerospace compound, and I think it was Bungalow 13, and it was homemade ale and some smuggled gin, and we were the only soldiers there, and the Brits made us get up on this little stage they had made up and do a limerick, which I made a rhyme, a rap, to get our free liquor. So we found it, and we were heroes to our unit.
Well, the Brits seem to take a different approach to this whole matter than we do, and I don't know if it affects their combat effectiveness adversely or not.
I think the rum ration in the British Navy no longer exists.
Well, that's kind of my motto, you know, beer for the boys at the front and grog for the girls.
Michael, thanks very much for the call. Good story. My parents, we lived in Saudi Arabia when I was very little. I didn't know about this, but they told stories of making bathtub gin in Dhahran, in the American compound in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. Anyway, let's see if we can go next to John. John with us from Iowa City.
Hi. My message is basic. I've got a cousin that's served three times in Afghanistan, and I just feel like the soldiers should have the choice, and that's basically my comment. It should be monitored, so that nobody gets hurt.
Obviously, there's also, here's an email from Marianne in Wichita. As an 8-year veteran in the Navy, I'm of the opinion the military cannot handle the consequences of allowing military members to drink. In my experience, the culture of the Navy was that it created alcoholics and then punished them once they had a problem. I say find healthier outlets for military members to relax and decompress.
Well, again, I kind of take the view of the soldier. Most of them I've known and served with. And they kind of enjoy a beer break at the end of the day. Alcoholism is a separate problem, and I think that there is binge drinking. Perhaps that's caused by not being allowed to drink for 12 months at a stretch and coming home and trying to accomplish in one evening what you missed for 365. But I agree that people should not be forced to drink beer, that there should be optional beverages for those who want it, and it should be monitored, and that's my position.
Okay, John, thanks very much. Let's see if we go next to, this is John. John Witt from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi, John.
I just wanted to throw in a quick comment. You had an email a moment ago about beer at the Marine Corps birthday. I am a Marine and was in Camp Fallujah with the Marine Corps in from October of 04 through March of 05. General Sattler, who was the commander of the Marine Forces, arranged for us to have a couple of beers and also a serving of rum punch, which is a traditional drink for the Marine Corps birthday on that event. Now, we had to celebrate it in December, as it turns out, because the 10th of November, which is the Marine Corps birthday, fell 3 days after the commencement of Operation Phantom Fury, which came to be known as Al-Fajr, which was the second fight in Fallujah in that year. So.
And very difficult times indeed.
Yes, but they held the ration for us, and when the operational tempo settled down a little bit and it was deemed appropriate, we got to go to the chow hall. And I don't remember that other service members, non-Marines, were excluded from that event because it was a very joint environment. So I believe that everybody was included on that.
And the rum testifying to the nautical traditions of the Marine Corps as well.
Exactly.
All right, John. Thanks very much. We appreciate it.
High marks to the Marine Corps.
We're talking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Crone, who wrote an article, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post titled "Let the Soldiers Drink." You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email from Max. Are troops being disciplined for smuggling in booze or making their own? At what kind of rate? Everybody knows prohibition is a fool's errand. If you can't keep booze out of prisons, why even try to keep it out of the Army? Do you know?
Well, I'm not aware of manufacturer booze. I think creative and inventive people are capable of doing that. And some things will find a way, like putting healthy young men and healthy young girls close together. Mm-hmm. Things are going to happen.
We mentioned the cultural and religious prohibition against alcohol in Islamic countries. Here's an email from John. Do they serve pork to the soldiers? Obviously, there's a prohibition against serving pork in Islamic countries, too.
Best of my knowledge, yes. I don't recall any prohibition against pork or any of the other, or seafood or shellfish or other things. You know, this was all served on the American base. Now, there is a cultural sensitive meal ready to eat. If you're working with Islamics, that they would not eat the conventional American ration. They mm-hmm. would eat the, you know, the one adjusted to their diet. But
Email from Krako in Chicago. Comment, in the Army Reserves, since when is alcohol and M16 toting soldiers a good combination? Half the deaths in the war are from friendly fire.
Again, my view is that two beers at the end of the day, when things are winding down, do not interfere with combat operations. Of course, there's no room in the battlefield for drunken soldiers or soldiers under the influence. But no one is suggesting that the president became incapacitated at the beer summit, nor the vice president, nor Professor Gates. And
not the policeman.
So, I mean, I see his point, but I'm not really trying to address that.
Here's an email from Dan. I returned from a year in Afghanistan on May 3rd, 2009. I agree with the op-ed author. Alcohol use should be limited and closely monitored, probably two-thirds per day. I'm not sure what that means. As 2 to 3 per day, and that may be it. Of course, any more than that just doesn't mix with carrying weapons. For the entire year, I did not drink, nor know of anyone who did this past year outside other nations' military members. In Afghanistan, we did not get beer for the Super Bowl.
Well, this just attests to the, in my judgment, of the dedication of the American soldier and service members serving overseas. They are doing very, very well by our nation, and I'm just trying to make their life a little easier.
Let's go to Don. Don calling from Salt Lake City.
How you doing?
Go ahead, please, Don.
So, while I agree with the colonel that the alcohol isn't going to affect, like two beers isn't going to affect the tactical proficiency of the soldier, you got to question how many guys died in Vietnam because they were drunk.
Well, two beers is different.
Additionally, it's not, I don't believe it's a Muslim, like, it's Muslim sensitivity prohibiting alcohol, because there are Iraqi liquor stores. Plenty of my friends got their liquor in Iraq from the Iraqis. The problem is it's American officers covering their own rear, so to speak, by instigating these policies that'll keep soldiers out of trouble, quote unquote.
Alcohol sales have always been allowed in Iraq, but Colonel.
Well, I was a civilian there, and I got my booze at the Baghdad International Airport, where civilians were allowed to buy booze. You're quite right. In the Sunni areas, there were liquor stores. In the Shia areas, they tend to be a little scarcer. So there are some sensitivities there. And while you're on the subject, I think that officers need a beer or two at the end of the day. Our people tend to be working very, very hard, long hours. Life in a combat zone is very difficult for the senior people as well, doing their planning, their rehearsals, the logistics of the whole thing. And I think that there's probably not enough time that they set aside just to mingle with each other on a social basis and get to know each other one-on-one.
Okay, Don, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Here's an email from Bob who says he was in the USAF 1978 to 1988. There was an NCO club in Dahran during the 1980s. When I served, it was members only, closely guarded and off the record, so to speak, like the sale of bacon in the commissary. The Saudi Arabian hosts turned a blind eye. And this from Vicky. I don't know how fond your guest memories would be if he ever attended an AA meeting full of veterans. My experience with the military as a wife was that it taught folks how to drink better than any other institution on earth. Our government should not be supplying alcohol with a wink and a nod, especially if it offends local custom. So, again, I think that's beyond the scope of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the issue of alcoholism, which is an entirely different subject. And I draw a line between two beers a day and a trend that leads towards alcoholism.
Colonel, nice of you to be with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Charles Crone served in Vietnam, now Deputy Director of Public Affairs for the American Battle Monuments Commission. We've posted a link to his op-ed at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. He was kind enough to join us today here in Studio 3A. Tomorrow, Howard Dean on politics and health care, plus Garrison Keillor on the State Fair. Join us then. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cohn in Washington.